You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, we have quite the debate for you today. Rob and Paul are going to go head to head as we argue whether you really need a degree or whether you need traditional education to be a drone pilot. And I want to have a macro discussion on whether having a degree is really necessary. On these articles all the time, they're talking about the importance of the skills and the gig economy that's out there. But also, we want to talk about how a lot of universities have wanted to partner up with us. We're going to talk about how we've had a lot of university professors in our classes. And we want to talk about how the traditional infrastructure of universities may not give them the means necessary to build programs that may actually help you or may not. So, let's hear today's question.
Good morning, guys. My name's Josh, stationed here at West Point, New York. And I had a question in regards to higher education. I know you guys offer a very comprehensive course in learning drones, but I'm also curious how much weight you believe is in a four-year institution, and if so, potential drone programs I could look into to help beef my resume up. Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
I just wanted to say, just really, really bluntly, if I would have waited for some program to offer me a four-year bachelor's degree in unmanned systems, I would not be in the position that I am today. Like, would Airbnb be in the position that they're in today if they would have waited for the government's okay to find a creative and alternative solution for creating hotel space? Probably not. So, when the first UAS degree came out of, I think it was like the University of Alaska, and the guy who has it is Leonard Legion, works for White Fox. He developed a program that he got the degree in.
That's smart.
So it's kind of like,
I bet he got straight
Hold
A's.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I'm sure he did. anyway. Okay, I just want to say this. A couple things really fast before I really want to go into the debate about this as a macro thing in general, because whenever a university wants to adopt a new program, they need a budget for it. Then it needs to go through appropriations. It needs to get approved. They need to find content. And then when they find content, they typically just utilize content from other schools and copy them. I swear to God, I literally know a university professor from Carroll University who was like, yeah, we just got our UAS policy from another university. And I looked at it and all the FAA regulations were old, outdated, or just flat out wrong.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, and we know that professors, and this is not across the board, there are creative, diligent professors out there, but we know some, probably majority of them, use the same information and the same tests, et cetera, same quizzes, same homework, year after year after year. That's just reality. That's true in high school. That's true probably in all levels of education.
I think my dad told me too before I went to college. He's like, son, just know that where you go to college is more about the networking opportunities and how you apply yourself than the content you learn. He's like, it's probably going to be pretty much the exact same content. And then you think of like a master's in business, right? What is a master's in business? You deep diving into Harvard Business Reviews. What are they called? The business reports or whatever, or analysis that they do. Mm-hmm. And now Reid Hoffman from Masters of Scale is saying like, well, we can do it better by doing podcast analyses of these companies and like interviews and whatnot. They are literally like changing HBR into Masters of Scale. And I think that says a lot too, right? If such a fantastic institution like Harvard is now completely changing the way that they're doing things based off of podcast information and the response that they're getting, it makes me question about the validity of their program in general. And I'm not trying to question Harvard. Harvard's a great school, right? We know that. But what I'm talking about is the system in which is utilized to garnish new information that's essentially being trained to students.
It is interesting what you mentioned about networking, because I think that's absolutely true. And we both like to listen to podcasts. We both like to listen to entrepreneurial-based podcasts, VC-related info, stuff like that. And a couple of them that I've listened to, where it came up about their education, I think it was Harvard and another, maybe MIT, what they talked about relative to the education was the contacts. And that is where their first if not second and third rounds of funding came from was from the contacts and the networking that they had done in college. It was really interesting because that's what they emphasized. It wasn't the education.
Which I would say that the only school that I would trust to give me a decent education on drones would be MIT, because they're just constantly excelling and advancing beyond any other school. In fact, K-State called themselves Drone U, which I thought was hilarious. And they're probably the longest reaching program to have drones. I would say they're probably one of the most respectable, and they were doing it way before Alaska University or University of Alaska or wherever Leonard got his degree from. And I don't, here's the thing, like, you can still network really, really well without being in the business school. I proved that at UNM. Like, I went and did business classes in another part of the world and then came back, mastered the business competition, made great contacts, entered the market, you know, confidently and wholeheartedly. I'm grateful for where I am. I would say that 100% of my networking came from Stacy Sacco. Like, you know who he is, dean of the business school. I mean, but he is the guy who is just constantly pushing growth and networking and content and all this. It's him. It's not the school. It's him. Like, he is doing that. He is.
It's always the leadership.
Value. Yeah, 100%.
It's always the leadership.
But that being said, it begs the question of, if schools take, you know, a year or two to figure out and budget what programs that they're going to do and then get the money for a UAS program, and then they're just copying information from other schools, or they have, maybe it's like the Uniform Law Commission. It's like the Uniform College Commission. And they're like, this is what you need to teach on drones. Okay, we've got the best drones in the world. No one has drones like us. Yes, they do, China. And you're going to learn everything you need to know. Like, I'm not going to say the names of the schools, but I have had more than a dozen university professors in my classes hoping to develop content. And I've actually had to follow up on some of these guys because I found out they were illegally using my content. And now we have a system to help schools start a program. We call it Drone U Elite. And people like the director of aviation at Ohio State reached out to us last year asking for help, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they see the value. I think those schools understand that there are people with skill sets way beyond the infrastructure that a traditional university could provide in the way that they gather those resources. And that's what I'm trying to say, is that I just think universities in general do not have the resources, infrastructure, a systematic means of doing research to really going into detail on what drones can do.
They have the resources, they just move too slow.
Yes, they move too slow. And they have a lot of, I would say a gross majority are people who really don't have that much experience with drones. Like, there are guys, okay, let's go back to Harvard. There are guys, oh, I forget his name and he's going to kill me that I like didn't mention his name. There's a guy at Harvard right now who's using an M600 doing VOC control modulation in the Amazonian desert. And that guy is like light years beyond most people. But it goes to show it's not about the school, it's about the people pushing this stuff. Because what he was doing with VOC collection is just unreal, measuring literally the health of the rainforest based off of the air around it.
Well, and with somebody like that, the great thing about that is it's also not necessarily about the knowledge that you're gaining. It's about the way, it's about learning how to learn. And learning how to become a lifelong learner and learning how to push yourself. Like a guy like that teaching at Harvard, he's teaching the kids, quote unquote, how to be that same kind of a learner.
True, but he's, yeah, 100%. And he's also a guy that's focused on environmental sciences and knows environmental science really, really well, and then said, wait a minute, I think drones could actually really help us out. And then he deep dived into drones and now does it a part of his class.
Right.
That's the kind of teacher I want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But,
and I'm just saying, I think that represents 1% of 1% of teachers.
It may. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe I'm being a little negative here.
That's probably a little low, if I had to guess. But the question is, do four-year degrees in UAS hold any weight in the marketplace? I think is what he was asking. And I think your thesis is that it really doesn't. And then I would say it just depends, right? It always depends.
Do you remember who I got a job offer from last week?
Yeah.
Don't say their name, but you remember? No four-year degree in UAS for me. And that is, I feel like that is the absolute best company you could work for, UAS, hands down.
Certainly, they have a lot of resources. And I think when it comes to trying to not give it away.
Please don't give it away.
When it comes to software development, for example, and coding, I know, I don't know. Well, I do know that a lot of companies legitimate, substantial companies are willing to hire people that go through non-traditional means of learning how to code.
Because it matters what skills you have, not what theoretical ideology you may possess.
But what I'm saying is that the reality is, it's a little bit ideological, because the reality is there are employers out there that you may want to work for that may still require a four-year degree, right or wrong.
They may also try to tell you how to eat your bread at dinner and where to put your fork. Just saying.
And I'm just saying.
Oh,
it's not absolute. It rarely is,
no,
right?
It never is. We can't answer this and be like, look, this is the answer every time, and it's huge. Okay, look, it's not the answer
every
time.
Thank you for saying that. I have hope.
All right, Ed McMahon.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
All right. Sorry, inside joke. Unless you're John, then you know the joke. Anyway, long story short, I agree with you. There is no one answer. You could run into someone who is, you know, just very traditional and know you need a four-year degree because now I know you've learned how to learn. They may say, you know, four-year degree doesn't really help me because all that says is that you got through school.
You took psychology 101 and 102.
It worked out.
Right. 202, whatever.
So that being said, gosh, you know what, dude? I have such a hard time answering this question because there are so many students from DroneU who are in such power positions right now and have no college degree in UAS. Yet their skills showcase an extreme depth of knowledge where they can problem solve, they utilize ADM, aeronautical decision making, and they're able to be safe, they're able to mitigate problems, they can overcome issues in the field.
Absolutely.
And you know what? They have a high degree of an emotional intelligence. They have a high degree of relationship building. They have a high degree of understanding just systems, right? Because here's the thing, right? One thing I heard a long time ago is that a lot of companies out of Silicon Valley hire from Chico State University instead of like Berkeley and Harvard and all those nice schools down there.
Did not know that.
And the reason that it was stated, and I can't remember which magazine this in, it was either in Entrepreneur or Forbes, I can't remember, but they were talking about how students at Chico State have such a diverse population and have to work with such a diverse cultural ideology and mindset that they're used to working with so many different people. It's easier for them to collaborate with all different kinds of mentalities and personalities.
Backgrounds, everything.
Yeah, and that has such a high value with people working together and collaborating to solve problems as a group that they care more about that than particular degrees. Now, let me ask you this question, Rob, because I have a lot of friends who would agree with me on this. You may have a degree, but it may not be relevant to what you're doing, right?
That actually happens a lot, I think, now.
I don't know.
Probably more now than ever.
The only person that I know that got a degree in said field and then worked in said field is Andrew Baker.
I did.
Oh, okay, two. We got two.
That said, I'm not now. Well.
We're back to one.
Kind of, sort of.
It's like you said, it's not definitive either way. You and I can count countless cases where people don't have a degree or a degree in their field, and yet they're making the same income, you know?
I'll tell you where the rubber meets the road, and that is with your own kids and making that decision internally, how important it is to you that they go to college. See, and I can't answer that yet.
Now, that's
because my son
deep.
Is only a sophomore.
That's super deep.
And
I'll tell Jake for you, he's effing going to college. Like, but it's not for the degree, damn it. It's for the experience. It's for them growing up. It's for them having their feet held to the fire. It's for experiencing things that only college will let you experience. I mean, like, and there are things that he's got to go through. He's got to learn. And frankly, again, I look at college as not... what value did I receive? Look, I have a criminology degree, okay? I have a degree in sociology and crime, like literally, okay? Now think about that. How does that apply to what I'm doing now?
I don't even know where
now?
To start with that. That's dangerous right there. That Paul got educated in that stuff.
I mean, maybe now that we're doing NTSB stuff, like maybe it fits
maybe.
Together. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so my degree is accounting, right? And I did that for 8 years, and I would not have been able to do what I did without that. But not UAS, and it just depends on the industry as well. Of course.
Hey, Rob, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Has my degree affected my ability to get extremely high-end jobs, and has it affected anything here?
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah, I mean, ultimately...
But I'm also in a really unique position.
So much more than that, obviously.
I know.
Obviously.
I know. But, okay, so let's talk about this. There's the gig economy. It's a very big thing. A lot with drone service providers, as they go out and they get gigs, they fulfill them and they do them. Would you be more comfortable with someone who had a UAS degree? Or would you be comfortable with someone who you knew had been flying UAS for 4 or 5 years and would fly right in front of you and show you and would have confidence, emotional intelligence, they're able to work with you, and they understand the systems of doing so?
So again, we're talking about the ultimate landing place of this particular person. In this case, it's us. Let's use Drone U Elite and staffing Drone U Elite. Okay. I would most definitely take person B for that, right? And that's part of our criteria. We want somebody with experience.
You know what's funny? Do you know what's not on our criteria?
A degree. I know. I know.
Bombshell number three. But then again, I wrote the criteria, so it's kind of not fair.
I would term it a life degree, a working degree.
Okay, so right? Would you say that we agree that every kid should probably go to college for the experience, networking, and understanding of how to learn?
Well, okay. So, no, because I will never say never, except that I just did, or every, right? You don't use extremes because...
Or absolutes,
because some kids know. One of the things that people, I think, are not thinking about, a lot of people are, but like the trades, right? In terms of machines replacing all these people, there are certain trades that, like, one of my sons is probably going to end up in a trade of some sort, and that's not going to require a degree for that. It's a completely different track. So that's my only caveat to what you said. But otherwise, the experience for probably most kids is that's probably true.
I would say that in my experience and a lot of my friends' experience, if you are able to master business systems, and just it's just understanding that there is a lot to business, lots of different systems, marketing, email automation, management, logistics, running your books. Like, there's a lot. There is a lot. But if you can understand systems, habits, and routines, you can deeply understand emotional intelligence and working with other people.
Huge.
And you deeply understand the technology that you're working in, how it applies, how it works, the systems around it. And, oh my gosh, I just, epiphany. Anyway, I'm going to finish this thought. If a person has A, business systems knowledge, B, emotional intelligence and can work well with other people, and C, extreme skills, I, as an employer, you as an employer, we have, I'm not going to say how many employees we have here because it's a lot more than I thought. Anyway, long story short, we just hired someone today. We just onboarded someone today. Ask me if I checked for their university degree.
No.
Didn't even think about it. And
no.
I'm like literally sitting here like, wait, I just went through his resume. I can just, like, we just literally, like, we interviewed like 10 people. And I'm like, I didn't care. I did not care if anyone had a degree.
Nor did I. Because it depends on what we're talking about. Anyways, true. We're starting to ramble.
I know, but I like it. Because it's like a deep subject.
It is.
Okay, here's something else, right? In the military, they have like technical trainings and, you know, you learn a lot of technical things.
Exactly.
And I think of Peter, right?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Of course, he's going to school now, but.
Dang, that kind of kills the epiphany. No, it doesn't though, because look at Peter,
okay,
right?
Carry on.
Peter works for DJI,
mm-hmm.
like literally one of the coolest jobs ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No degree in UAS. Now, he wants to be a mechanical engineer to help design drones, so he's getting his degree.
Yeah, absolutely. But again.
So if DJI were hiring you, I would say you probably need a degree.
There you go. He's putting himself look at it this way. You're, by going the traditional degreed route, you're probably giving yourself more options because you're still going to have the non-degreed options in most cases, right?
True.
For example, today, the guy that we hired that you referenced, we would not have said, you have a degree, we don't want you.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have said that. So it's complex. It usually is. The answer is always, it depends.
that really is the answer. I mean, like, it's just like, it really depends. There is no finite example. We've seen lots of articles that swing both ways that say, you know, this is a skill-based economy. The economy is moving towards skills, especially because so many people are getting degrees and it's just kind of washing out the effect of the degree, if that makes sense. In addition, let me play devil's advocate here for a second, right? You've got 20 grand to learn whatever you can learn to work in the field of your dreams. How do you put that to work without going into debt? Because I'll tell you, I still have at least $18,000 in student loan debt. I know because my student loan payment went through today.
Ouch. We got to get that paid off.
Did you know that the biggest revenue generator for the United States government is student loan interest?
No.
Google it. Someone just said this on a show, on a podcast, so maybe they're wrong and maybe I'm wrong.
Say that again. Biggest revenue source
for the U.S. government, and just say student loan. See if it comes up. So that was in the 40s. What about now?
No. That's income for the largest share of federal revenue. In 1940, it's a new sentence, and it's going into more.
Okay.
What are the sources of revenue?
Go there, yeah. What are the sources of U.S. government tax? See, that's tax policy.
48% of federal revenue comes from individual income taxes, 9% from corporate income taxes, and another 35% from payroll taxes that fund social insurance program.
Google the size of student loan interest, or they even said this on CNBC like a week ago, that student loan interest was like one of the greatest revenue sources for the U.S. government.
Portion of U.S. government
student
revenue.
Loan. Okay. This is the difference between a 40-year-old Googling
loans.
And a 30-year-old Googling.
I guess so.
The Fed, I like that. The Fed's financial accounts. What's Uncle Sam's largest asset?
Largest asset. How much does the federal government make on student loans? Turn a profit.
They made $1.6 billion in 2016.
Lends out about $100 billion a year. I don't know what you're listening to, but they're lying to you.
Okay, so I was wrong.
Anyways.
You know, that's a big key of a good employee is the willingness to admit that they're wrong.
That's
true. You're not going to get that from a college degree.
Emotional intelligence. It keeps circling back.
You know what? On that bombshell, I think we're just going to leave it at that. Is that it depends. I personally think that skills are going to speak higher than a degree. Because it's not about having a degree, it's what you do with it. And it's more about
how do you
apply yourself? Because again, I mean, you just heard us talk through all these things where we're just like literally running through the motions, like we just hired a couple people. I'll be honest with you, I've never looked at someone's degree other than Howell. And you know why? Because Howell's resume was really cool and I was like, where do you go to school?
Well, and by the way, his degree doesn't
matter
indicate what he's doing for us.
True.
It's another example of that.
That it just doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anywho.
So if you're a kid listening to this show, if you're thinking about going to college, you should go to college. Not to get your degree, but to have the experience, make the connections, build relationships, and truly understand what you want to do.
And learn to learn.
Yeah, learn to learn. Because if you can find what you love and you do that thing, you're going to realize that no matter what you do, it's going to be so much easier.
All that said, while you're there, go ahead and get your degree.
Yeah. Yes.
You might as well.
I actually think that the emotional stigma from going to college and dropping out is worse than going to college or not going to college. Because I met someone the other day, sadly, at a funeral, and I was like, hey, didn't I have like English lit and British lit with you in like freshman and sophomore year of college? And she was like, oh yeah, but I dropped out and here I am now. And I'm like, I really wanted to be like, how do you expect me to respond to that as you're assuming that I think it's a negative thing that you dropped out of college? I don't give a crap whether you dropped out of college or not. So why would you presume that it's negative?
Yeah, she kind of set that up for herself.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. I think the stigma is worse than whether you actually win or not.
It certainly, she has some internal issues with that for her to say that.
I'm not going to go into that.
Okay. We probably should end this sucker.
Well,
I hope that's helpful, Josh.
She was a part of the family of the funeral. Okay. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Fair enough.
She had a lot on her plate.
Absolutely.
So.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the show. If you have a question, macro or micro, about drones and tech, bring it in. AskDroneU.com. Thanks as always for listening.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.